Welcome to your Sunday Reader. Today we'll be discussing the readings for the sixth Sunday of Ordinary Time, 2009.
A reading from the book of Leviticus. The Lord said to Moses and Aaron, "If someone has on his skin a scab or a pustule or blotch, which appears to be the sore of leprosy, he shall be brought to Aaron, the priest, or to one of the priests among his descendants. If the man is leprous and unclean, the priest shall declare him unclean by reason of the sore on his head. The one who bears the sore of leprosy shall keep his garments rent and his head bare, and he shall muffle his beard. He shall cry out, 'Unclean, unclean!' As long as the sore is on him, he shall declare himself unclean, since he is in fact unclean. He shall dwell apart, making his abode outside the camp." The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. I turn to you, Lord, in time of trouble, and you fill me with the joy of salvation.
I turn to you, Lord, in time of trouble, and you fill me with the joy of salvation.
Blessed is he whose fault is taken away, whose sin is covered. Blessed the man to whom the Lord imputes no guilt, in whose spirit there is no guile.
I turn to you, Lord, in time of trouble, and you fill me with the joy of salvation.
Then I acknowledged my sin to you. My guilt I covered not. I said, "I confess my faults to the Lord," and you took away the guilt of my sin.
I turn to you, Lord, in time of trouble, and you fill me with the joy of salvation.
Be glad in the Lord and rejoice, you just. Exalt, all you upright of heart.
A reading from the first letter of St. Paul to the Corinthians. Brothers and sisters, whether you eat or drink, or whatever you do, do everything for the glory of God. Avoid giving offense, whether to the Jews or Greeks or the Church of God, just as I try to please everyone in every way, not seeking my own benefit, but that of the many, that they may be saved. Be imitators of me, as I am of Christ. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Mark. A leper came to Jesus, and kneeling down, begged him and said, "If you wish, you can make me clean." Moved with pity, he stretched out his hand, touched him, and said to him, "I do will it. Be made clean." The leprosy left him immediately, and he was made clean. Then, warning him sternly, he dismissed him at once. He said to him, "See that you tell no one anything, but go, show yourself to the priest, and offer for your cleansing what Moses prescribed. That will be proof for them." The man went away and began to publicize the whole matter. He spread the report abroad so that it was impossible for Jesus to enter a town openly. He remained outside in deserted places, and people kept coming to him from everywhere. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
Hello and welcome to your Sunday Reader. I'm Brian, and I'm here today with Dawn.
Hello, everyone.
And we're here, of course, to discuss the readings that we just heard. And there's a lot of stuff going on in these readings, a lot of it regarding healing and things. And Dawn, I know that you had some information, maybe some background information, maybe about leprosy and how it was treated in Jesus' day, that you wanted to provide us with some information on. You set the scene, paint a picture for us.
Well, we have a little bit of the picture that comes from the first reading. We have the Moses and God telling to Moses how if someone has leprosy, what to do. And, of course, we have the word pustule. Isn't that always great to have that in readings?
It's very vivid pictures.
But at the time of Jesus, if you were a leper, you had to live outside of the community, so outside of the town. You lived with other lepers. And whenever you would walk somewhere, you would have to yell, "Unclean, unclean." And you might have seen this in movies or read about this or things like that. But that's one of the things that was, I mean, it's awful to have the disease, but to have to be removed from your community, can you imagine how much worse that would be? I mean, today, you know, if we're sick, we go to the hospital, but we can usually have visitors. And so it's a sort of a different type of concept. Now, there are still diseases that in our day to day that we shun people and sort of shut them out of our community. So anyhow, that's how people would have lived at the time of Jesus.
Okay. So they're out outside of the community. So part of what we're seeing then is Jesus restoring this leper to the community, in a sense. So he's not only just, it's not just a story about a healing, but it's also a story about restoration into a larger community, which, so I think
Right.
there's two dynamics there then that we can look at and say are going on in these readings. And I think that's an important dynamic, is that being restored to communal life, both with other people, for us, of course, in our own day, we view the church and the rest of the people as the body of Christ, so we're being restored to this body of Christ. But even in the Jewish day, like you said, it would be shameful to be outside of the community. In a sense, you're right too. We still do this today with certain diseases. I mean, you can certainly think of people who are HIV positive, especially when HIV or when AIDS was first discovered, that it was this disease where it was just horrendous and people didn't want anything to do with it because they were afraid it was contagious. They didn't know how it was spread and all this kind of thing. But people really get shunned. And a lot of times with other diseases too, that happens. And so I think that one of the things here that we see is an idea of how we can restore people to community. And that's essentially part of our mission if we are followers of Christ.
And all this talk about healing, it sort of led me to think about the sacrament of anointing. And could you talk a little bit about that and what it means and, how it might be done and things like that?
Sure, yeah, because I think you're right. That's exactly one of the things where these readings naturally lend us is to the sacrament of the anointing of the sick. A lot of times people think of this as last rites, unfortunately. I think that's an old school kind of mentality where the sacrament was used less frequently, and in most cases it was last rites. But it is something that's completely separate from last rites, so it's not really appropriate to think of it in that sense. But it's a sacrament of healing, essentially. And it comes from, we get our orders to do this really from the book of James, where in the book of James it says that if anyone is sick, they should come before the priest, which we also saw today in the first reading from the book of Leviticus, where those who are sick are brought before Aaron, who is the high priest of the Jewish people. And it's a way in which it's a sacramental way in which we ask God for the physical healing of the person as well as the spiritual healing. And it should be used, it's not something that we should use, just willy-nilly, so to speak, where, I have a, cold sore or something like that and need to it, or, I've got the common cold. But if you're in a situation where you're facing a severe illness, or perhaps even preparing for something that could be life-threatening, maybe you're going in for surgery, even with all the technology that we have today, things happen in surgeries. Where it makes it a little more high risk than, let's say, the common cold or a stubbed toe, but it's an appropriate time to receive that sacrament. And what it is for is it's for strength and healing. So both physically and spiritually, what the priest does is offers a prayer and uses oil to anoint somebody. Oil, of course, would be a sign of the strength there, because it was used on the in the ancient times, or in the biblical times, on the gladiators and the warriors and things. So it was a sign of strength, or kings were also anointed with it, but it was this symbol of strengthening. So that's where why we still use the symbol of oil there.
And so, where is the oil applied?
The oil is applied. Oh my goodness, I knew you'd ask this. And I'm trying to remember now. I
The
do believe
forehead
it's
and
the.
to the palms, perhaps?
I know it's, and I want to say for some reason that you can also, I know you can apply the oils, and this is part of the thing is because I haven't prepared for the sacrament yet. I get all these practicum courses next quarter, so
I
you got
see.
me a quarter ahead of time. I know
Oh.
you can apply it to any injured area too. Generally, it is the forehead. And I think you're right, the palms. I think it used to also be, but I don't think they do it anymore, on the chest as well. But I don't think they tend to do that as much anymore. I think it's generally just the forehead and the palms. And then if someone had a specific area, if you were going in maybe for knee surgery, a knee replacement maybe, they might put some on the knee as well.
I know at St. Mary's we do an anointing during Mass at least once a year. And it's always so powerful to me if I'm like leading the music or something, and I'm usually singing that at that point. But to watch the people come forward and the priest anoints them, it's almost like it's not the priest, obviously. It's Jesus that's ministering to them. But the way that their hands are touched and they're prayed with, it's just so beautiful. I know it can be a scary thing, and some people avoid it because they do think, like you said, they think, oh, this is the last rites, I don't want to go there. But it's not. It's so much more than that.
And along with the sacrament, one of the reasons I just made a comment that I can't do the sacrament yet as a deacon is it also does involve a forgiveness of sins with yes. it, too. Now, if part of it is also that if you're anointed and you're able to recover and that sort of thing, you're also encouraged to go to confession, too, for forgiveness of sin. So it's not meant in lieu of the sacrament of penance, but it is also a means of forgiveness of sins, which is why a deacon can't do that. All the sacraments that involve forgiveness of sins are reserved to priests and bishops. So that's why the deacons can't do that, and hence I haven't done it yet.
So that's what's different. If you're in a hospital and a chaplain's volunteer comes in, if they're not a priest, they can pray with you, but they can't give you the sacrament of anointing.
Correct.
So that's a good point.
Yeah, and you get that a lot. But they can still give you a blessing, certainly,
and things like that.
Which has its benefits, right. But like you said, it's different. It's not a sacrament per se.
Right. And the only other thing I'd just like to mention, it's not just for physical healing. I know people that have emotional problems or psychological, and they'll come in to receive the sacrament of anointing.
Right.
So just
right.
That's another encouragement if you struggle with that. And
yeah. And again, we're not talking, that we should abuse the sacrament where,
right.
I'm having a bad day or something like that, that's, but we're talking,
I'd be in every day.
I was going to say, I just don't want everybody coming to Father Moll or, bugging him down, the stock market's down again today. I had another bad day.
That's not what we mean.
So it's for the more severe, the clinical depression and severe, more severe psychological disorders and things like that. But you're right. It's not just for physical ailments, so to speak.
Mm-hmm.
And the other thing with all these sacraments is that they are communal by their very nature too. Mm. And that's every sacrament is actually supposed to be communal. The one that's not always done publicly communally is reconciliation, of course, because we don't air our sins out in public. But all sacraments are communal. So like you talked about St. Mary's having it in the context of a Mass once a year. I think that's an important thing to do because it shows that it's not just between the priest and the person receiving the sacrament or God and me relationship, but it is that communal relationship as well. Well, Don, I see we're coming to the end of our podcast. Hopefully people have learned something about the anointing of the sick and understand Jesus's healing miracles, and hopefully they'll be back next week to join us on your Sunday Reader. Have a good week. God bless.